Do you make the playoffs? I mean, does it even count? Like, if you lose 16 in a row, like the Minnesota Twins do, like, does that even really count?
Oh, man. That's brutal. I mean, to even play that many games against one opponent, I forget what the exact number is, like 17 out of 20 or some ridiculous number of their last postseason games just against the Yankees. That's kind of unusual and maybe even unfair in this instance. But yeah, it's brutal. Like you want there to be the turnaround for the sake of the fans, and that it was just the here we go again, the usual Bronx Blues for the Twins. And, you know, I think that team had a great season, certainly, but you know, maybe it was a little more pitchable, being so power driven as it was, and maybe we saw that a little bit in these three games. But you know, the Yankees, to their credit, they've risen to the occasion all year. Tons of injuries and whatnot, and they just took down a good team from the AL Central.
Yeah, they're a fine team. They're a 100-win team, and they were below 500 against above 500 teams. But that division stinks.
Sure.
Like, do you think?
Yeah, it inflates. I think in general in the American League, there's an inflation of records. Like, it's hard to know what to make of Astros' record, Yankees' record. Just yeah. In general, there's just so many bad teams this year in the American League. So, yeah, that's why I don't get like caught up in like the Indians, for instance, missed the playoffs with 93 wins. Well, you know, when 18 of them against the Tigers, you know, you don't cry for them.
Yeah, 18-1 against the Tigers. That's stupid. I think the storyline of this postseason, I mean, has the potential to be the Dodgers departing after tomorrow's Game 5 against the Washington Nationals. We know how different the playoffs are than the regular season, that baseball is really supposed to be played in a larger sample size, and the playoffs ain't that. But, I mean, if you're again, coming up short, considering that payroll, is there any fallout to losing tomorrow's game?
You know, but my gut says no. You know, it wouldn't happen in the front office level, and I don't think it would happen with Dave Roberts. I think they respect what he does. I think it's more just when you circled the NL playoff picture, the Nationals were the team you looked at as potentially giving them fits just because of the strength of starting pitching and how you can manipulate it in a 5-game series versus a 7-game series. I think if these two teams play 7 games, you know, it's not. I don't give the Nationals as much of a chance as I do in a 5-game series. But we've already seen. You know, you can bring Strasburg out of the bullpen. You can make the absolute max. You know, use of your 3 great starters. Although Corbin has not been great in that series, versus what you could do in a 7-game round. So yeah, it's dangerous for the Dodgers. But I tell you what, they got the right guy in the hill for themselves for tomorrow. And Walker Buehler, that kid has just so much confidence and so much pedigree as well. So, you know, he could pitch them right back to the NLCS.
Well, speaking of Strasburg, Ben and I were talking a few days back about how, considering the hype for him coming into his career, that it's been a bit of a disappointment. And it's not that he's had a bad career. It's just that, yeah, we were talking about a guy that we'd never seen before. And, you know, Ben worked here in our television department, and they were streaming high school games of Steven Strasburg. Well, so it was just, the bar was incredibly high. Yeah. But is there anyone, like, his postseason has been incredible. Is there anyone from a legacy standpoint who has more to gain than Steven Strasburg this fall?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if anything, what's happening now, like the way he's pitching this postseason, maybe it's opening some people's eyes to the idea that, you know, maybe he's been a bit underrated in that everything you guys just said is true. But that was not Steven Strasburg's fault, you know, that he was so high on people's radar. He was a kid who liked to keep a low profile as it was. It just happened to be, he was fantastic at San Diego State, and he was the clear number one. Like, there was no doubt about it that he was the number one pick, and just all these enormous, you know, Hall of Fame caliber expectations were kind of heaped upon him. And, you know, that's really no fault of his own. It's just that it's kind of an impossible standard for him to live up to. I think if you look back at his career, it's been pretty strong, you know, the durability that he's generally had. He had the Tommy John surgery, but I think, you know, there was worry that, you know, that would really derail his career. I don't think it did at all. I think he's been one of the better starters in the National League in the course of his career. So I think what you're seeing now is the total maturation. He's become the total package. You know, he's figured out how to use his full repertoire and all those things. So it's nice to see him have this level of success after he was pretty uncomfortable with that spotlight, and now he's kind of earned the spotlight.
Yeah, talking to Anthony Castrovince, the Nats have been able to, like you said, paper over that, like, one of the worst bullpens in all of baseball, not just playoff teams, by having their starters out there. That's not traditionally the way it's done in the postseason. It's usually done the way the Yankees are doing it, right? Like, have that just murderous bullpen, and paper over some maybe questionable starting pitching. Like, did we overstate the maybe lack of starting pitching? And a lot of people were dubious of the Yankees' plan not to add any starters at the trade deadline. They seem pretty smart, actually, in doing that now.
It remains to be seen. You know, we'll see how they fare in the ALCS round because, you know, it's kind of the same thing there where in a seven-game series, you know, you can get exposed if you do have a weakness in a certain area. But having said that, you also have more days off in this October and in general. So if you are bullpen heavy, as the Yankees are, as their pitching plan is, you know, you're more apt to make that work than you are in the regular season or if there were fewer off days, you know, within rounds. So, I picked the Yankees to go to the World Series and win the World Series just because it is a more bullpen-oriented sport now. I will say this particular year, this particular postseason, has been more starter-driven than we've seen in the last couple of years. I think that's an extension of what we saw in the regular season where so many teams had bad bullpens, even good teams had bad bullpens. It just seemed like teams were asking too much of their relievers in general. And maybe that comes back to bite the Yankees here in this round or the following round. But, they got a lot of weapons back there. I think the starting staff, kicked it up a notch in the last few weeks of the season. And, you know, everybody criticized them for not doing anything at the trade deadline. And that's totally understandable. I thought they should have went out and gotten, you know, something of value at the trade deadline from a starting standpoint. But it doesn't mean what they have can't work. And it's working so far.
Yeah, it is. And I expect them to meet the Astros in the CS. I mean, the Astros aren't going to sweep the Rays, obviously. They have game four tonight. And Justin Verlander's making that start on short rest. Second time in his postseason career, but the first time it was coming off like an abbreviated, I think, rain-shortened start. So really the first time ever in his postseason career. What do you think of the decision?
Yeah, I described it on MLB.com as the safe risky pick and the risky safe pick because, obviously their choice is Verlander or a rookie, Jose Urquidy. And so I get it. Like, you know, your natural instinct is goes Verlander in this situation. Just nail it down here. Worst case scenario, break glass in case of emergency. You got Gerrit Cole for game five back at home. But the risk in that, of course, is, you know, what if Verlander doesn't have it on short rest because he has never done this. And generally speaking, starters on short rest in the wild card era, they just don't pitch very well. Like it's more than half a run difference in their ERA. So if that does blow up in their face in any way, and it does go to a game five, well, now you've used Cole and Verlander. And even if you do advance the ALCS, now your pitching plan is different than it would have otherwise been. You know, it's just less impact you're going to get from Cole and Verlander in that seven game series. So it's a risk, no question about it. All that said, yeah, it's absolutely the right move. I mean, it's Justin Verlander versus an unproven rookie, and they don't really have a lot of confidence in their bullpen right now. So, you know, the mornings you can get out of Verlander and Cole, the better, just to survive in advance.
Before you go, they're only in this position because Zach Greinke, not so great yesterday. He was bad. The postseason ERA in 12 outings is over 4.5 for a guy who is headed to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Like, is he in that conversation that it's hard to put David Price in there after he won a World Series, but like, Clayton Kershaw, always we have that conversation about the playoffs being a different deal for a guy who's an all-time legend type like Greinke is. Is he in that conversation?
I don't know. How many starts do you know off the top of your head?
12 outings.
I don't know. Is it 12?
12 starts. Yeah, 12 starts.
Yeah, for me, my base for all these conversations is always like, you know, you give people enough sample of opportunity, they're going to resemble themselves. You know, that's the go-to. Having said that, and that's how I've said about Kershaw in the past, but having said that, you know, the sample of opportunity for Kershaw has really built up over the years. And you start to wonder because, yeah, sometimes, I mean, these guys are human, you know, and as much as that is probably going to reveal itself more times than not, you know, the larger sample size, sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes the heightened anxiety or whatever of the postseason is just a different animal. So I don't know at what point you go there with a Zach Greinke, with a Clayton Kershaw, but certainly the numbers don't resemble what they do in a much larger sample of opportunity the regular season. And the conversation is fair. It's absolutely fair because this is what it's all about.